That Julie is an honor to be able to welcome Rav Tversky back to B'nai Yisur and to give us a share on Hanukkah. In the last minute, we're greatly appreciative that he's able to come. Those who want to daven Maariv, Rav Tversky said the shiur will be done by 10 o'clock, so you can go upstairs for the 10 o'clock Maariv. The Chavi Godel, Rav Tversky.
Thank you very much. I appreciate everyone overcoming the disappointment. If I were in your shoes, I would be greatly disappointed, but I appreciate your coming out nonetheless. You know, the Yom Chagiga, which was familiar, that in a dome is shana peko may upon and shana peko may have effort upon, and you can't be quite someone who reviews what he learns 100 times to one who studies it 101 times. There's not too many, and I guess if you doubt most Ashkenaz, you say by my madlik on Friday night, so maybe we learn that 101 times, most of Sfarad, so maybe one chazus kegat 101 times, but there's not too many things, but I'm saying of a rabbin that we review so many times. But kind of the Yom Tov, I'm not using that in a very technical term necessarily. So you always come back to the Rambam. Every year, come Pesach, you come back to the Rambam, and Hilchos Chametz Matzah, Parashat, the Mitzvah, the Sibuyot Yetzias Mitzrayim, what does the Rambam mean with the comparison, with the derivation from Zohar, Tzemach, Shabbat, the Kadosho? Some of those passages, if one is Zohar, it's a real Arichos Yom, or if you look at them a couple of times over Yom, so then maybe it's in a Bechina of Shana Tek, or may have the Echad Pamim. Certainly the opening halacha, the Rambam Hilchos Kadosho is in that class. Something which you sort of have to imagine going into a Hanukkah, or experiencing a Hanukkah without reflecting on the Rambam's description of the background to the Hanukkah. Maybe as we do so, we'll do so not only with the goal of trying to understand, to review what the Rambam says, but also with the following bent, or the following goal in mind. Every Yom Tov has its avoda. Every Yom Tov has its special challenge and opportunity in terms of avodas Hashem. What's more, the historical events which are associated with that Yom Tov converge and also point to what the specific avoda of that Yom Tov is. So for instance, one prime example would be Pesach. The avoda of Pesach is clearly an avoda of Emunah. Matzah is identified with Emunah. Lachmadim Henusa. All the events of Yetzias Mitzrayim, the Ramban says, the Dori Dori serve as the foundation of our Emunah. So there is again this convergence, this symmetry between the historical background of the Yom Tov with its avoda and with the special quality which is inherent in that time. So as we read the Rambam, maybe we'll keep this in mind as well, to try to glean what the avoda of Hanukkah is. The Rambam begins with Vayesheni Kshemolchu or Kshemolche Yovan Gazuk Zereth Al Yisrael. When the Syrian Greek kings issued harsh decrees on Bnei Yisrael, ubit ludasam, below yinichu osam asa v'tor mitzvos, and did their utmost to uproot Torah and to prevent our involvement in Torah mitzvahs. Poshtu yodah v'mamonam u'bivnaseihem, literally they extended their hands against Bnei Yisrael's money and against their daughters. Nichnasu v'hechol v'pirtzu v'pirtzos v'tzimul ataros, they violated, they defiled the Beit HaMikdash. The tzar lahem liyisar ma'od v'bneihem v'lachatzum lachat gadol. And Bnei Yisrael were acutely distressed and subject to great, great pressure. Asher licham aleim alakei v'oseinu v'hashia miyod. Until HaKadosh Baruch Hu saved us from their hands. Okay. Before we come to the, actually one word or one phrase which I wanted to reflect upon a little bit, as I'm sure you're all familiar, the Rav Zichron Levracha used to comment that the Rambam doesn't tell us the background to the story of Purim in the beginning of Hilchos Megillah. He does so in the beginning of Hilchos Chanukah for the simple reason that the story of the Megillah is to be found in Kitzvei HaKodesh, and the Rambam in HaKodesh. So the Yad HaChazaka says that if you'll study the Yad HaChazaka, so then you'll know what you need to know in terms of conclusions about Torah Shabbat Peh. So since there is no Torah Shabbat Peh about Chanukah, so here the Rambam tells us the background, and not just that we should be historically well-informed, but since the mitzvah of Chanukah is laharos legalos hanes, as the Rambam says in Halacha Gimel, a person has to understand what it is that he's seeing in the Ne'er Chanukah. The laharos legalos hanes is only brought to the surface, is only brought to fruition if a person is familiar with the background of the Ne'er Chanukah. In the Rambam's whole description, I think that this phrase, which is most remarkable, is the phrase that Poshtu Yodam b'mamonam u'bivnaseihem. And it's remarkable for two reasons. First of all, the Rambam here is recapping the fact that the Syrian Greeks, under the penalty of death, forbade Shmir Shabbos, they forbade Bris Milah, they tried to prevent Talmud Torah, Mamish, they attacked the Ikari Adas. Rambam said, you know, what's more, it's also, hey, Poshtu Yodam b'mamona. I guess the simple translation is they stole their money, they imposed heavy taxes, or whatever. But the very inclusion of this in the list, alongside the other things, is remarkable. I mention this in the same breath with Bitlu Dosam, again, which presumably is the allusion to Shabbos and Mila, and Lo Yinichu Osam Masav the Torah, Hashkicham Torah Secha, and not only that, but you know what? They tried to take our money away also. That's what Poshtu Yodam seems to me. Okay. So maybe the answer is that Rachmana Litzlan, if the financial pressure is great enough, it's also something which needs to be mentioned in the list. But then the mentioning it in a single phrase together with the Gnosim is also very, very striking. Poshtu Yodam b'Gnosim, again, so that refers to what the Gemara in the beginning of Ksuvah tells us, that there was a Xerah that's called the Suma HaNisais, is Tibor al-Lahegmon Tchila. That every woman marrying for the first time was first going to be violated, was first going to be raped by the local Syrian governor before she could be nechnasus l'chuta. That's what Poshtu Yodam b'Gnosim means. And the Rambam in the same verb is Poshtu Yodam b'Mamonam u'bivnaseihem. So even if Eifshahu, the attack, the targeting of Jewish money should be included in the list, but it should have had a different verb. No? It should have been, I don't know, כתבו מהבנם, והציבו עליהם ניסים קרדים וקושם, and פשוט יודם בבנוסם, but the same phrase is very, very remarkable. Let's leave that aside and for a minute and review another famous ma'amotim here in Chanukah, the Bach, in Tzim Tzachai in Reish, very famous Bach, commenting on the fact that Tzoy here quotes from the Maharam in Wittenberg that there is no mitzvah of Seruda in Chanukah, and the Rivei has Seruda Shemadim Bohem, has Seruda Shushus, because the Maharam in Wittenberg says, in his opinion, Shabbat Kvom Ela Lahala Lahodos, for all the Mishnah of Simcha. The 8 days of Chanukah, you may Halal Lahodah, and not you may Mishnah of Simcha. Okay. So the Bach asks that Ika Bameda, Kigu Fakosh, Lama Lah Kvom, the Mishnah of Simcha come over for you. Okay. So what underlies that fact? And the Bach gives his famous answer. He says, that before an ika hegzera haisa, the fisha nehenu misudasa shal osu harasha, ba'alke nigza alehem laharug la'abidas agufim. Uche osu tshuva, so since they were confronted with a physical threat, so ultimately the celebration is physical as well. On Chanukah, Ika hegzera hoysa al shehisrashu ba'avodah, ve'al kein hoysa hegzera levato mehem ha'avodah, and that's why the celebration of Chanukah, again, is spiritual, and specifically by taking one mitzvah from Mikdash and perpetuating that. So the Bach said there is a very clear nida connected nida in the whole hishtalshu ba'avodah, that Purim, that Purim was precipitated by being Nehemiah and Nisudas Osa Rasha. As a result, they were confronted with a mortal physical threat, and the celebration therefore manifests itself in a physical fashion as well. Masha in Kenan Chanukah, what precipitated the crisis was Hisrashlos Ba'avodah, was neglecting Avodah. Therefore, the persecution was spiritual persecution, and therefore the celebration is also manifests itself spiritually rather than physically. Now, the truth is that the Bach is the one who's viewing Chanukah and Purim through this lens, but the Yisrael that we should do it. Basically, the Gemara Sotah says that Kol Midos Hashem Kadosh Baruch Hu is Midah Keneged Midah, and that the Midah Sha'odim Odeid is Modeid Amal. Dahainu, that again, the Bach is the one who's sort of reminding us that when we think about Chanukah, we have to think about it based on a Midah Keneged Midah. But then, as Chazal say, everything Hakadosh Baruch Hu does is that way. Every time Hakadosh Baruch Hu punishes, it's always Midah Keneged Midah. Somehow or other, the onesh reflects the chait, the shortcoming which precipitates that onesh. So with that in mind, well, let's come back to the Rambam's Poshtu Yodom Dumamonam. If the gzeira was, again, the Bach doesn't talk about this element of it, but the Rambam clearly does, if the gzeira encompassed not only bidlu dasam and not only lo yinichos or masuk v'toru v'mitzus, but also poshtu yadam v'mamonam, then clearly, again, in terms of the midah keneged midah, it means that something had happened to precipitate that type of tzara. That type of tzara, which expressed itself through poshtu yadam v'mamonam, again, is called Midosa Shakash Rahu Nida Keneged Nida. The Nida Sha'adam Modeh is Modeh than Ro. If the way the Nidas Hadin manifests itself, in addition to everything else, was Poshtu Yadam B'mamonam, so it means that there was something, again, which had precipitated that. It's interesting that Halacha Lamaisa, the Rambam mentions that at the end of Perek Dalet Hilchos Chanukah, that Mitzvahs in Chanukah is one of those very few exceptions to the rule of HaMevadvid HaYivadvid Yosem Mechomesh, that by all of the mitzvahs, a person is not supposed to, unless he has reserves, savings that he can draw upon, a person is not supposed to spend more than one-fifth of his income in order to facilitate a kiyum mitzvah. But when it comes to Ner Chanukah, so a person has to be mochek suso, as need be Rachman Litzlan, has to be mechadra al tzachim. So again, the symmetry of poshtu yodim b'mamonam, somehow we read that there was a chait with regard to mamon, and the tikkun for that is that when it comes to mitzvah Ner Chanukah, it has to be, even if necessary, mochek suso mechadra al tzachim. So when the Rambam says Poshtu Yodam, again we commented that Rambam says Poshtu Yodam, the Mamonam of the Vnosam uses the same verb. Right? It's not only that he says two different things happen, but the Rambam compresses it. Okay. So you'll say that's part of the Rambam's genius of compression, that he's able to say, even though Poshtu Yodam and Mamonam means they stole the money, and Poshtu Yodam did Maseya mean that they violated the daughters. So that was part of the Rambam's stylistic illness. And that's certainly true, but Yitach saying that there's a second layer of meaning here as well. Yitach saying that the Rambam is telling us, and either way this is correct, whether this is a second layer of meaning in the phrase or whether this is the background to the phrase, but either way it's correct, is that the Misyavnin, in terms of the assimilation which happened, so that assimilation affected not only their ideas about Avodah Hashem, not only their ideas about religion, not only their ideas about Talmud Torah, but also their attitude towards money. That the Greek culture, which they were assimilating, insinuated a certain attitude towards money, antithetical to the Torah's attitude towards money, which they assimilated. And it's that which precipitated the onus of Poshtu Yodim b'Mamonam, and maybe this is a shatul on the Haggadah, but either way, the Poshtu Yodim b'Mamonam means two things. Poshtu Yodim b'Mamonam means that they were metame, the same way they defiled their daughters. They defiled the money in the sense of what the Jewish attitude towards money was. And that's why Bnei Yisrael was subjected to the Eis Tzara of having to cope with Poshtu Yodim b'Mamonam in its other sense, of their taking the money, of their appropriating the money. So what was the Greek attitude towards money? What is the Greek attitude towards money? It's alive and well. L'chaim are two things. First of all, money is a hechsher. Money facilitates pursuit of pleasure. To be somewhat extreme about it, it's a hechsher aveira. It facilitates pursuit of pleasure. A person has endless money, so a person can indulge every tithe that he has. And that's one dimension of money and pursuit of money. But then, money is also an end unto itself. There's a certain money can be worshipped, becomes an end unto itself. Just to have more and more money, more than a person can ever use in a lifetime. It becomes an end unto itself, becomes its own avodah zarah. Yesh Lamana Rotze Masayim never ends. That's a never-ending cycle, and it doesn't matter how much the person has. It doesn't matter how much the person has, he wants more. What? It's no longer hefshet. At that point, money is no longer a hefshet. Money is just an end unto itself. It becomes an end unto itself. It becomes all about the Zara. Money is worship. And the more money one has, the better, just for its own sake. Not because at this point it's going to allow me to indulge anything that I otherwise can't afford. No, I really can afford everything. What's our attitude towards money? Well, let's review the obvious. Begin with a beautiful Beis HaLevi. Beis HaLevi comments on the pasuk in the beginning of Parshas Truma, V'yikchu li Truma. And as many Mefarshim have pointed, so it should have said V'yikchu li Truma, right? You give a contribution, you make a contribution, you don't take a contribution. So what's the idiom of V'yikchu li Truma? It should have said V'yikchu li Truma. So the Beis HaLevi says as follows, Ika mashi yesh lo lo'odam v'manono. What a person really has in his money, umashanosin mitzvaka, is what a person gives away. What a person really has from his money is that which he gives away. The gam yishiyeshlo mamon harbe, person who has, again, tremendous amounts of money, ain't a mamon shalo. It's not really his. Baka mamon munach etzlo. And listen to this marshal of Beis HaLevi gives. He says, "V'lutomer mamish lechaticha gedola harbei shel tzuker." He had a large piece of sugar. Hamunach ba'argaz sagur, which is in a closed trunk. Uzvuz echad gam tkein ba'teva. And there's a fly. So imagine this closed trunk, this large piece of sugar, and inside it is the fly. Holech olav v'gam ochel mimena kemoshe yirtze. So the fly is able to help itself to the sugar. He says, Hayuchal hazvuv lehispoyer shehu osher v'yesh lo harbe. So what the zvuv is going to say, look how rich I am. First of all, ki gam hu sogur, he's also locked into the chest. Began the aim of kochel litzlo kula la'atzmo. He doesn't even have the capacity to eat all the sugar, and he certainly doesn't have the capacity to take it with him. Keno ashiras legavi ha'odom. So too, Beis HaLevi says wealth of the guy to a person to who back munach etzlo. It's deposited with him. Lo shehem shalom. To back hasach shenosein esvaka hu shalom mamash. A person takes the money and gives it away, so then he's taking something. Because that's his forever. That's his forever. That everlasting zchus, that eternal zchus that he has from giving stock, that's something he has. The money is not his. V'zeo de'isa b'masachus b'avavashu, says the Beis HaLevi, yadim munbaz ha'melech. Munbaz ha'melech dizbez ha'tzosa v'tzoka. He opened up his treasure houses and gave everything away to tzoka. V'omar, and he said, Avosai, my ancestors, gondul acherim. They saved money for others. Meaning, they saved money and then they died and the money went to Yerusha. V'ani ganatim atzmon. He says, I saved money for myself. I gave it away. I saved money for myself. That is the Beis HaLevi. That's pshat in v'yikchu li truma. A person gives away the money, so then he's taking for himself. And that's the only way a person can ever take for himself in an enduring way from his money. And one man in Malcolm about what our attitude towards money is. Another man in Malcolm. There is a very Yeron Tainis comments on the pasuk in Sefer Zohar. I forget exactly how the pasuk goes. Hakadosh Baruch Hu sends bracha ba'achsa mecha. Is the word of the Chumash. And the Gemara in Tainis says that ein bracha mitzui ela b'davar hasomui min ha'ayin. That bracha can only relate Bracha can only attach itself to something which is hidden from the eye. So what does that mean? So the Moray Na'im explains as follows. He says, when something is modeled and shuffled, when something is measured very precisely, something is weighed with great exactitude, so then a person then tends to place his trust and his faith in, well, then I take up my bank account, I see how much money I have in the bank, and it's modest, it's chocolate, I know exactly there's so much there, so much that I can rely on, so much that I can live on for years and years. So you can't have bracha there. That's really someone in the eye. What someone in the eye means, the person doesn't know exactly what's there. Doesn't know exactly what's there. He doesn't know whether he has or whether he doesn't have. When it's someone in the eye, and so what's someone in the eye, I don't know exactly what's there. A person can't be relying on that. He can't be placing his trust in that. He must be placing his trust in the Gomshom. He's placing his trust in the Gomshom. He doesn't know exactly what the yield of his crop is. Is it good? It's generating a lot this year. It isn't generating a lot this year. It doesn't know exactly. Then you can have bracha. It's not about some women ayin, but if it's not some women ayin, so then there's no room for bracha. My betochen is in the what it says in my bank statement, rather than in the Rivam Shalom. There's no room for bracha. Gemara Chagiga. And the Tzad says that Chaza HaKadosh Baruch Hu HaKol Midas Tovos Litein Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu opens up his bag of Midas Tovos to see which Midas Tovos, what's the best gift he could bestow on Kol Yisrael. The Lomotza Ela Anius, and he found that the best gift with which he could bestow upon Kol Yisrael was Anius. What was poverty? And then the Gemara goes on to say that Yo Ani Yuso the Yudai, that it's becoming. One final man welcome. That the Gemara Brochus quotes a pasuk from Hosea, from the Novi Hosea, the Chesed Yevesi Lahem, the Zohar also about. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I blessed them with silver, with gold, and what resulted was the Egel Hazar. That was the result of the bracha of Kesef Hazar, of Eshivas. We view we don't view money as something to be desired. We certainly don't view wealth as something to be desired. We recognize the reality that the weakness in human nature is that we do desire it. I forget who was the first to point out that the word for kesef, for silver, for money, is also the same word for nichsesos, that to long for something. So we certainly recognize that propensity and that weakness in human nature to desire money. But we don't consider it something to desire. On the contrary, Yoan Yisrael Yudai. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that a person's avodah is to deal with the nisayon of osher, a person has to recognize it as such. A person has to recognize that osher is a nisayon and has to brace himself. What do I do? Well, how am I supposed to respond to this nisayon of osher? And here I just like to share with you some a few thoughts. But first with just the following hagdomas, hopefully to prevent misunderstanding. When things happen which affect countless, when there are financial reversals and upheaval which affect countless people, it obviously isn't the case that there's, and not only individuals but most of us and kehilos, it's not the case But there's one perspective, and only one perspective on what's happening. It's also not the case that any one perspective is meaningful and illuminating for everyone. And what we'll discuss, what we'll share in a minute from now, is not intended as the only perspective on what's happening. It's not intended as a perspective for everyone, whether individually or collectively, who's affected by what's been happening. But it is a perspective. It is something to think about. If Hanukkah, like every other series of red-letter days in the calendar, means that there's a special avodah, there's a special opportunity of avodah Hashem, so it means that the same way that Hanukkah 2,000 years ago or so was a time to be metaya, was a time to cleanse ourselves of the tumah of assimilating to Greek culture. So that's the avodah every year. The avodah every year. And if one element, one facet of the assimilation to Greek culture had to do with the attitude towards money, the Havaya, the Tzorah, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu imposed, the Midah Shav and Mosei Mosei Demo, was the Toshu Yodam and Mamona. So then clearly, part of taking advantage of the Yom Tov of Hanukkah is to reflect on our attitude towards money, and to what extent that our attitude towards money and our use of money is consistent with V'yikhuli Truma, is consistent with Yor and the use of the Yudai, and to what extent it's consistent with the Greek attitude towards money. Specifically, I think we would do well to ask ourselves about what place in our lives the desire for money occupies. How much of our lives, in terms of time, is devoted not to Godel Hanen and Yigir Kampos, not to living in a dignified way, but to desire for money, for wealth, for more than what's involved with just living dignified way. There's no in Yadus, again, there's no Indian to desire money. That's not something that we accept. That's part of Greek culture. Not part of Yadus. We don't desire money. And then when the Rosh Hashanah gives us money, a person can not desire money, and the Ritzon Hashem is that this person should be the steward, that this person should be the Gavai Tzvachim for money. So then when the Rosh Hashanah gives us money, the question is, what do we use the money for? What do we use the money for? And when we live in a time when in current events, we're reliving Poshtu Yodam, the Mamonam, the Poshtu Yodam doesn't have to be a government. The effect is the same in terms of Poshtu Yodam, the Mamonam. So these are questions that we need to think about. How do we use the money that the Roshan does give us? One example, but it could be multiplied many times over. The amount of money that's wasted on simchas is mind-boggling. It's both astronomical, and because it's astronomical, is mind-boggling. And the question is, when Rav Shalom blesses us with the money, and Baruch Hashem, there are many people who are blessed with money, who know what to do with it, and they give generously and repeatedly, to stop him. And it's wonderful. I don't, Chas v'Shalom, need to paint a one-sided picture, Chas v'Shalom. But in Kol Zeh, as we prepare for Hanukkah, and as we celebrate Hanukkah, I think we need to look at how do we use the money that the Rav Shalom does give us. Is all the money which is spent on simchas, it couldn't be, everyone is so concerned about looming financial crises in different areas and for good reason, and the concern is well founded. So imagine if so many thousands of dollars were skimmed off of every simcha and were channeled towards to ask the Rabbanim what the priorities are going to be in philanthropy. It's not for me to say. But just imagine every expense in terms of the way we celebrate our smachos is there won't be a simcha avada. A couple gets married avada. Simcha shel mitzvah avada. That's supposed to be a nice seudah. We're not talking about not having a simcha shel mitzvah. For whatever the occasion is, a wedding, a bris, a bar mitzvah. But there's a person can make a suda. A person can make a suda in different ways. And just imagine if all that money could be channeled to all the tzedakah needs that we as a community now experience. Some of the Svarim suggest a person doesn't ask for any nesyonos, but a person has to recognize that Osher is also a tremendous nesyon. Also a tremendous nesyon. And if the Ribbon Shalom singles one out for that, a person has to recognize it as such. A person has to recognize A as a nesyon, and B as such. It comes with a tremendous responsibility to use the same way any drug that Rav Shalom gives. If a person is a gifted physician, so again, it's a bracha, but with a bracha comes responsibility. If a person is a teacher, if a person has an ability to teach, again, it's a bracha, but with a bracha comes responsibility. And the Osher belongs to that list of, again, it's a bracha, but it's simultaneously an historian and a responsibility. I think that's our attitude, and that's our approach. So the story of Hanukkah is that Tosh v'yodim v'mamonam in a double sense. Tosh v'yodim v'mamonam is A, again, the same way Tosh v'yodim v'mamonam means that they defiled their daughters. So they were metame the money. They were metame the money, and that the money again became something which was there to facilitate pursuit of pleasure, which became an end unto itself. Poshli yodim b'mamonim. Because that happened, so then poshli yodim b'mamonim in the sense of the gezeira, in the sense of confiscating the money. The tikkun for that is, to recognize what the money is there for, is to recognize the yikhuli truma, and to be willing to spend one's last dollar and more to be mekai mitzvahs nechanukah, to even achman l'tzlan if need be, to be melchek suso and mechazer al hatzachim. And thank you for letting me share the Torah of Hayotzim and Alev, and I hope that As we prepare for Hanukkah, as we observe Hanukkah, that we should be able to take advantage of this man, to take advantage of this man for Satara, and to purify our conceptions of money, and to grow in our Lord Hashem.